All right, we're in Exodus, and I think this is not normally associated with, I've never really heard it associated with what's going on here in Exodus, but spiritual gifts, and that is what's going on with this whole tabernacle, and along with Moses being given instruction to on the blueprints on how to build and the furniture, how to orient all of it, where to put it, the architecture. He's also given instructions on who is supposed to do this work and at least organize it, kind of like a contractor would. And that's the part we come to here in Exodus chapter 30. He's given this instruction on who is the man, or men, a couple men here, that are supposed to oversee all this because they have expertise in these areas. And so that's the idea. So Exodus chapter 30, actually 31, I think it is. 31. Verses 1 through 11. I'll read these verses and then I want to give you a few thoughts on spiritual gifts because that is something that is kind of a, I don't know, it can be like a competitive thing among people and then sort of a comparison among people and then some whole denominations are built on, you know, what gift you have or what they call a gift. But I don't know, like a lot of other things in the Bible, it's God works in these pretty practical ways. And some of the, I don't know what I would think of as superstition around some of these things, the mystery around them, I think is a lot more down to earth than people give credit for. So Exodus chapter 31. Starting in verse 1, says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahimasach of the tribe of Dan, or Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is there upon all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and the furniture, pure candlestick with all his furniture, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, the laver of his foot, the cloths of service, or the clothes of service, the holy garments for Aaron, the priest, the garments of his sons, the minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee that they shall do." Yeah. Got it. All right. So he says, not only have I given you the layout, not only have I given you the blueprints, not only have I given you the way this is supposed to operate, but now I am going to give you the people that are supposed to oversee this work, kind of like I said, like contractors. These guys who are experts in these fields, they understand, the physical materials and how to handle physical materials, how to put them together. And so the Lord is going to identify a couple guys, Bezaleel and Ahisamach, as the sort of the contractors in this whole thing. So that said, they are a great, or this whole layout, this whole explanation is a great example of spiritual gifts and some of the way, some of the elements of spiritual gifts are really laid out here at this point in time. And so, that said, let's pray. I'll give you three things about spiritual gifts and maybe a little bit anticlimactic, but it's just the way it seems to work here in the Bible. So let's pray. We'll talk about these things. Father, thank you for these words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here this afternoon and for those that are going to see family or maybe going to other places. I pray that you keep them safe while they're traveling. And thank you for your words. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so Moses has instruction about who's going to oversee sort of the nuts and bolts of this whole thing. Who's going to handle the physical materials? Who's going to be able to manipulate them and fashion them in the way that they need to be made so that they can be according to all the blueprints that have been laid out? And so one of the things that's said right off the bat is the Lord says, verse 3, that he's filled these men, filled them with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold, silver, brass, cutting stones, all that stuff. So a couple of things are going on. In verse 3, our text says Bezalel is said to be, he's filled with the Spirit of God. A lot of times it seems like we take phrases like this and make sort of everything about salvation. Like you're filled with the Spirit of God, and so that means, does that mean he's saved? Does that mean he's justified? It doesn't really mean any of those things. It just means he's going to, now he has instructions from the Spirit of God and what he's supposed to do. And so everything you've read, everything we've read up to this point, what was the process of filling men with the Spirit of God? It's first Moses. Moses gets all this information. But all of this information that we've read up to this point, as he left Egypt, the Israelites went into the wilderness, and now Moses up on Sinai is getting instruction. All of these tedious details about the altars, the furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, the curtains, all of these details about these things, the record that's being written is how these men are going to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I say that because it's not necessarily a mysterious, weird thing how this works. It's other than God's putting a record in place. And it's just kind of like you and I, we read the record of God, and in receiving the words of God, that's the Spirit of God that we're receiving. We're receiving the mind of God, the Spirit of God, through the words of God, in the same way these guys would. And I don't think they were zapped with talents in building materials or anything like that. They had been given them in their lifetime. They had these natural abilities by God. They had these natural abilities to handle these physical materials, put them together, and now God was going to use their abilities to focus those abilities to create something that God once created. So he's going to use their ability to use wood, use stone, cut wood, detail it, all those things, in fashioning now a tabernacle and a sanctuary and a tent and the whole layout here that is really symbolic, but it is something that he once done. And so God's going to give them instruction and all that. So a better understanding of being filled with the Spirit of God, it means God has a design for a tabernacle that he intends to be built by the Israelites. And the Spirit of God first fills Moses with this knowledge, and then from Moses is going to fill Bezalel with this knowledge, with these instructions. So it would be like Moses would take these instructions, Here you go, Bezaleel. Here's how you build, or here's what God once built for the altar of incense. And that would be a process of being now instructed by God and filled with the Spirit of God in that sense. So how does God fill these men with the Spirit of God? Through the words of God, through the instructions that He's giving. And so it's kind of like what Paul would ask in the with Galatians. And he would say things like, "Did you receive the Spirit by law or by faith?" And ultimately, if you're not going to receive the words of God, then there's no way to be filled with the Spirit of God. So, kind of similar things that Paul says in Galatians. But the point is a better understanding of being filled with the Spirit of God. It's kind of a simple process where God reveals Himself, and He's going to take some men who have some understanding in these crafts and put them to use here. So, how did God fill these men with the Spirit? Through His words, and the filling of the Spirit takes place in the blueprints that we've been reading about for the last few chapters. And so the spiritual gifts really can't be separated from the words of God. You can't separate those two, because the only way to access the Spirit of God is through the words of God. That's the way you get that. So it gives you a little better understanding of being filled with the Spirit of God. Now to spiritual gifts. When the Word of God is combined with your talents or resources, then there is an opportunity there to serve God. When what you possess is made subject to the revelation of God, that is the putting it into the service of God. And so this is what's happening here. We were talking with some folks after church about serving God and things like that, and had some questions. And it's like, you know, if you have some natural abilities, well, start there. That's something that you already have something that God's given you to express yourself in that way, or express God's work in that way. So anyhow, it's the same sort of principle that God's going to use what you have. Like, He uses Moses, and He says, "What's in your hand, Moses?" Moses says, he's got this shepherd's staff, and He says, "All right, we'll throw it on the ground." Mm-hmm. So it's that principle. What do you have that's useful? What can be put to use here? Paul would say some things like in Romans, I think chapter 12, and he would say something like, "He that gives, let him give with simplicity." So if you're a generous person, then you give without strings attached. That's the idea. Then here's a way to do this that pleases God. It's something that you're inclined to do already and something you would like to do. And so it's a way that you can do it that pleases God. So this is what's happening with Bezaleel and Ahisamach and Moses to a degree. So spiritual gifts, it's sort of that principle that God's going to use what you have, and he's going to enlighten what you have and put it to use in a way that brings honor to Him. Let's see. So the Lord's going to give him these blueprints, showing him how to use his skills to the service. So I couldn't help but think about this. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, The Matrix, I don't know, 20 years ago or something, and they like download this information, these talents, into these people's minds and things like that. That's not how this works, but I think that's how some people think it works, that you pray and God downloads these talents and things into your mind, and that's not really how it is. What He does is He enlightens and then gives you revelation about how to use some things you have to put those to use. So I don't know, you know, financial expertise, you put it used in God's service. Technological expertise, you put it to use in God's service. Musical ability, you put it to use in God's service.
You studied the Bible, you put it to use in God's service. That was Paul's deal. Paul was such a student of the Bible and of the Scriptures for years that when he finally understood Jesus Christ in how he fits into the picture and really how he is the picture, it completely changed his life, obviously. But he was now qualified to actually teach the Scriptures and qualified to write books, letters to churches, explaining Christianity, because not because he just got saved, but because he knew all of this information. He was qualified to explain it. He already knew all of this information. And so he just needed the missing piece, which was a big piece, Jesus Christ. But once he got that, it wasn't like he just overnight became a teacher. He was a teacher. That's what he did. He instructed people. And so he was perfectly qualified to do all that. So that's spiritual gifts. And then it says this, third and last here. This is another time where God points out that he's looking for willing-hearted people. So if you want to participate, you can. And he's not really interested in people being pushed against their will to do this. I mean, he wants you to participate, but he also wants you to want to participate. And so in verse 6, it says, "Behold, I have given with them Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan." Aholiab, that's the other guy's name. "And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I've put wisdom that they may make all that I have commanded thee." Tabernacle congregation, Ark of Testimony, that's the whole list there that we read so fast a while ago. But the idea of people that are wise-hearted, he puts more into that wisdom. It's like the Lord said in the New Testament, "To him that hath, I'll give more. And him that doesn't have, I'll take away that which he seems to have." But those that have and are willing to be a part of this, he said earlier, he talks about willingness, that the Lord's looking for willing people. And so the offerings, you read about that earlier, those are all willing, free will offerings. People bring as they want to bring to support the tabernacle. The offerings of the tabernacle came from willing people. The offerings weren't confiscated from people. They weren't taken by law enforcement. People willingly brought these offerings to support the work of the tabernacle. And so those administrating and overseeing the work here to build the tabernacle were willing-hearted people. In fact, let me show you a verse. Look in Exodus chapter 36. I think it says it pretty clearly here. Exodus chapter 36, verse 1 and 2, when they actually start building, it says, "Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it." So if you had a mind to work, then God would enlighten you on how to do that work. He would give you more instruction and give you more information about how to do it. But he's looking for willing-hearted people. It reminds me of the New Testament when Paul says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, and then he gives some qualifications, and he says, do this, 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 and he gives some qualifications. And so one of the things that we had this conversation this week with somebody about a call, that's probably a separate deal, but a separate study in itself. But there's so much weirdness associated with the call, when in fact, do you have a desire to serve God? Do you have a desire to pastor? Do you have a desire to teach the Bible? Okay, we'll start with that. That's how it starts. And so if a man desire the office of a bishop, Paul says, then here's the qualifications. Here's what you need to be on the lookout for. Here's what would qualify him for a call to something like that. So the call is for those willing and equipped, just like it is back here in the tabernacle building. Those willing and equipped to do the job, God's going to give you more equipping if you're willing and you're going to show up to serve. So those things said, this is really a formation of, I don't know, just kind of the basis for spiritual gifting. And the few things you ought to understand are the filling of the Spirit of God, first of all, comes through the words of God. That's how it happens. It's not a magic zap fry thing. It's the words of God. That's how you get filled with the Spirit of God. And I think about that sometimes because I catch myself praying, you know, fill somebody with the Spirit of God. And I think about that and I'm thinking, well, if you don't know the words of God, you can't really be filled with the Spirit of God in that way. You can be thankful. That's good. Maybe that can generate some filling, but understanding and receiving the revelation of God is how you get filled with the Spirit of God. Then these gifts, God's going to use these men that are talented in these ways, and he's going to instruct and direct on how to put those talents to use in a way that glorifies and honors God in the way he wants it done with Israel at this point in time and with the tabernacle building and all that. And last but not least, he's looking for willing-hearted people to participate in it. And so the offer is out there, but this is where you get part of this illustration throughout the Bible, part of this marriage illustration. This isn't the biggest part of it, but it's part of it, is that the marriage relationship between God and his people is an I will from God and an I will from the people. And so he's looking for the willing-hearted people. It's not Calvinism. It's not fatalism. I'm not going to drag you along in this thing. I'm looking for willing-hearted people to participate. And so these things form sort of the basis for spiritual gifts. When you get to the New Testament, all of these principles are going to be at work. The Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit of God comes through the words of God. The spiritual gifts, a lot of times it begins with just what you bring to the table already, and God focuses that and gives it more instruction on how to use it. Romans 12 is good about explaining this, or 13 or 14, one of those. And then the willingness of the people, that's the last thing. So a few things about these spiritual gifts. It's not a complete explanation of them, but it does kind of get the ball rolling on how this is going to play out in the future with God's people. So hope that's helpful. Let's pray. We'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your words. Pray it's been helpful. There's a little bit that we can glean in these texts about how you're going to use people to get your work done through their gifting and through their spiritual gifting, and then really how that gets magnified and grows in the New Testament. But this really is a foundation for all of that. So I pray you'd help us understand these things, help us understand our Old Testament, and really get a good view of you and your character and your opinions about things and your desires and goals and all those things that we need to know about your will. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.